Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Today, we're going to jump into a really crucial conversation, especially for you if you're an executive running a retail operation with, you know, a lot of locations. We're focusing purely on the front line, specifically how to maximize the potential of every single transaction that walks through your doors.
Exactly.
We've been looking at the source material, and one idea really stands out. It's this subtle but massive difference between an associate who is just clerking and one who is truly selling.
It's everything. Our mission here is really to distill how to capture what we're calling the $1,000 opportunity.
$1,000 opportunity. I like that.
Yeah, it's all that revenue that just it walks out the door when an associate just completes an order instead of, you know, actually building a basket. It's task completion versus true revenue generation.
Okay, so let's unpack that. The core idea seems to be that most staff are just clerking. It's only the really good ones who are selling. So let's define that. Imagine you're on the sales floor. A customer comes up and says, "Hi, I'm looking for a black dress." The associate, being helpful, leads them to the rack, points to the dresses, maybe gives a polite smile, and then just fades into the background. What just happened there?
Well, that is the textbook definition of clerking. It's pure task fulfillment.
Just checking a box.
Exactly. The associate answered the question, the customer got what they asked for. But here's the key. There was no real engagement, no follow-up questions, no energy.
Nothing.
Nothing beyond the most literal interpretation of the request. And the result is almost always a single item sale. It's not wrong, but it is a massive failure of optimization.
The customer leaves served, but not really styled.
Yeah.
Or inspired.
Right. So now let's contrast that with selling. The interaction starts the exact same way. I need a black dress.
Okay.
But the selling associate, they don't stop there. The entire focus shifts from the product to the customer's need, to the context.
So they ask a question.
They ask an intelligent, open-ended question. Something simple like, "Oh, absolutely. Is it for something special?" Or, "Tell me about the event."
And let's say she says it's for a cocktail party.
That's it. That context is the key that unlocks everything. The associate isn't just pointing anymore. They're starting to paint a picture. They might say, "Okay, for a cocktail party, you know, we just got these new clutch bags in that would look incredible with that."
Ah, so they're already thinking about the whole look.
The whole look. Or they might recommend a specific heel that works with the cut of the dress. All of a sudden, that single black dress is turning into a three-piece sale. Dress, bag, shoes.
And the customer leaves feeling like they didn't just buy something, they got expert advice. They feel styled.
That's the transformation. And for an executive, that's everything. It's the difference between an organization that just survives on traffic and one that thrives by maximizing the value of every single person who walks in. It goes straight to your margins.
But hold on, I can hear an executive worrying right now. Doesn't all this consultative selling, you know, slow things down, especially during a holiday rush or a big sale?
That's a really fair question. And it's a common misconception. We're not talking about aggressive, pushy sales tactics here.
Right.
A proper consultative approach actually, in many cases, speeds up the decision. Because you've qualified the customer's needs so early, you focus the search. It's about being effective, not just fast. A slightly longer, high-value transaction is always better than three rapid, low-value ones.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's move on to this other major pitfall you highlighted, this idea that sometimes poor habits are completely invisible. Let's talk about the hot product trap.
Yes. This one is so important.
We've all seen this. A brand gets hot, maybe a product goes viral online, and suddenly associates are just, they're scrambling to keep up. Sales are through the roof. Everyone's happy.
Everyone feels great. But when that external demand, the hype, is doing all the work, the default behavior of clerking can look a lot like selling.
A false positive.
A huge false positive. Conversion rates are high because customers are walking in already sold. The executive team sees the numbers and thinks, "Wow, our team is amazing."
But the truth is, the product is the hero, not the associate's skill.
So what happens when that hype, you know, inevitably cools off? And it always does. That's when the cracks start to show. Suddenly, conversion dips, baskets shrink, and teams start to struggle because they never built the underlying skills.
They were just taking orders.
Precisely. They were relying on a viral video to sell the product, So they never learn how to sell the add-on or the warranty or the alternative. The organization is just left completely flat-footed.
So the big insight here for you listening is that the best time to invest in real sales training is when business is already good.
That is the absolute best time. You have to reinforce the right behaviors when the pressure is off so the skills are there when you actually need them. You build the habits during the boom so you can outperform during the slowdown.
Okay, so that leads to the really big question. If we know the difference and we know the payoff is huge, why do so many associates default back to just clerking?
It's easy to jump to conclusions like laziness or lack of engagement, but the material we've seen points to something much more fundamental.
Which is?
A confidence gap.
A confidence gap. Tell me more about that.
Well, think about the risk for the associate. To actually sell, to guide a customer, you have to ask questions. You have to be ready to offer solutions.
Right. You're putting yourself out there.
You are. And if an associate doesn't have deep product knowledge, or if they haven't been trained on how to smoothly pivot the conversation, they will always, always revert to the safest possible behavior.
And the safe play is, let me get you what you asked for and get out of the way.
Exactly. They avoid looking pushy, and they avoid being asked a question they can't answer. It's self-preservation. So the root cause isn't a lack of desire, it's a lack of tools.
Which brings us to training. And we're not talking about, you know, the one-and-done onboarding session or some boring e-learning course.
No, that stuff doesn't build real confidence. The training has to be real world, it has to be repeatable, and it has to be relevant.
So for a big operation, hundreds of stores, what does that actually look like? You can't fly everyone in for a seminar.
You can't. The solution is to shift the focus to short, sharp, in-the-moment coaching, right there on the sales floor.
So this is on the store managers to deliver.
It is. It means managers observing and, you know, intervening constructively. It's about catching those coachable moments.
Can you give me an example of what that looks like in the moment coaching?
Sure. A manager overhears an associate just clerking. They just point to the black dresses. After the customer leaves, the manager pulls them aside for, say, 60 seconds. Not a big formal thing.
Just a quick chat.
A quick chat. Hey, great job helping her find the dresses. Next time, let's try adding one question. Just one. Ask her what the occasion is. Let's see what happens. It's small, it's specific, and it's immediate.
And that, done consistently, starts to build the habit.
It builds the habit and it builds the confidence. And the ROI on that is just enormous. If you can move your average transaction value up by just 10%.
Which seems totally doable.
Oh, it's more than doable. The difference between clerking and selling is often way more than 10%. You could fundamentally change your profitability. And there's another piece here for executives to think about.
What's that?
Job satisfaction. When employees feel competent, when they're succeeding at a higher level skill, like consultative selling, they feel more valued.
Which links directly to retention.
Directly. Lower turnover, lower hiring costs, lower training costs. High confidence sellers are happier sellers. They stick around. It's a virtuous cycle.
So the philosophy is pretty simple then. Selling is a skill. It can be taught. It's about giving your team the tools to guide the customer without being robotic or pushy.
And when that training really starts to take hold, you see this amazing transformation. Associates stop being reactive, waiting for an order.
And they become proactive.
Proactive. They start looking for cues, listening for context, asking smarter questions, because they know they can handle the answers. They're confident.
And that has to change how they feel about their job, right? I mean, they're moving beyond just restocking shelves or working a register.
It completely changes their job identity. They become stylists. They become problem solvers. They become really storytellers for your brand.
And that's what turns a good associate into a great one.
And it turns a one-time shopper into a lifelong fan. That interaction becomes memorable and valuable, and that's what builds real loyalty.
So this all comes back to you, the executive listening to this. The goal here isn't to point fingers at the front line. It's about recognizing this massive, untapped opportunity hiding in plain sight in almost every transaction.
The gap between what you are selling today and what you could be selling, it's almost certainly a confidence gap, which is driven by a coaching gap.
So the big takeaway here is that sustainable performance isn't just about hot products. It's about superior execution of the fundamentals.
Absolutely. If you build these selling habits during the good times, when the market eventually slows down, your organization won't just survive. You'll outperform everyone else who is just riding the wave.
So the critical question you should be asking your team today isn't just about sales numbers. It's, does everyone from the top down even know the functional difference between clerking and selling?
And if they know the difference, the next question is, how many of those in-the-moment coaching conversations happened yesterday? On the floor. That's your real leading indicator.
And I guess that leaves us with one final thought. If the goal, the real goal, is to create lifelong fans, what vital story about your product and your brand is being left untold right now by associates who are just clerking? That silent gap, that untold story, that's your $1,000 opportunity waiting to be unlocked.